Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host Mike Dempsey and Ryan O'Halloran.
Not much better to get you kicked off on a Monday than "That's great job." That's the one that gets us the most fired up around here. And
That's great job.
There you go, Gus. That's right. Great job by you. Great job by Blake Bortles and the offense. Boy, what a 180 the expectations have become from which side of the ball is going to prosper based on the last couple of years. But, Ryan, developing story right now, long time, 12-year Jaguar. Josh Scobie has been their kicker and a very good one. Game winners, we know, big leg, accuracy, all those things. It looks like that time may be coming to an end.
Yeah, and I heard through the weekend why I wrote a blog on this yesterday that, you know, it's unconventional to keep two place kickers after the first cut. We, you know, are they trying to trade one?
Sure.
And that appears, I mean, we'll see what happens. But, Josh Scobie, longest tenured Jaguar. If it's over, that'd be 11 years in one camp. But we'll
right.
see.
Right, this is his 12th season, would be his 12th season.
So they're on the field in an hour and a half, so we sort of know he's not going to be out there, not expected to be out there. And,
Is he right now?
Don't know.
Don't know. Okay.
A couple of people have tweeted me that they think they know where he is. It involves an airport, but I'm not sure. I'm not going to say that. Not Jacksonville. So it could be like, I remember a couple of years ago, they made the Eugene Moreau trade. Gus Bradley, Dave Cole, prohibitive of commenting on that trade until it's done. So, you know, maybe as the day goes along, we find out the who's, the what's, and most importantly, the compensation.
Right. And it appears that Josh Scobie's going to be dealt. The likely candidate would be the Pittsburgh Steelers, who lost Sean Sweason for the year, signed Garrett Hartley, formerly the New Orleans Saints. He just got hurt in the preseason as well. Scobie going to a team, going to a team that's expected to score a bunch of points, is going to be very active. One of the most difficult stadiums to kick in the National Football League as well.
Yeah, because that field deteriorates as the season goes along. I think they still have grass there. Yeah.
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 They play so many high school games there. But you know, it was going to be, you know, a team that's ready to win now, and Pittsburgh believes they are. And then they're also, I mean, this was, you lose your starter, then you lose the guy you brought in. They, you know, if it's them, they need to act quickly. They couldn't wait for somebody to get released.
Right, because Pittsburgh's already, they've lost Maurkice Pouncey for about half the season, right? So they were already planning on being without Le'Veon Bell for the first couple of games, as we know. And then Martavis Bryant suspended for four games. So some chinks in our offensive armor out right now that, you know, they may find themselves having to settle for more field goals, and they need somebody who's going to be reliable, have that big leg, kick up of there in the Northeast. Again, if that's the direction it goes, it certainly seems like something is brewing that Josh Scobie may have played his last football for the Jacksonville Jaguars, and Jason Myers then would take over, and he only missed the 58-yard attempt. That's all he's missed. He had the one kickoff that was short. Everything else has gotten to the end zone, and clearly he has a big leg. He has the capability of booming it. The question is, how will he be in the clutch if he gets that opportunity?
And this is, you know, spin it forward, hell of a gamble by the general manager here, because for that very reason, this team has not been in position to win a lot of games the last couple of years. And now you're going to be relying, if it's you trailing 17-16 with 3 seconds to go in week one, you have a 48-yarder, you're throwing a rookie out there. It's a lot of trust, and, you know, a lot of jobs could be on the line.
Well, there's no question. Now, I don't think Dave Caldwell is going to lose his job over practically anything he does this year, but it certainly invites scrutiny if
well,
it goes that way.
Well, I'm coaching staff.
Oh, certainly coaching staff. But, I mean, ultimately, I guess that is this. How is this decision made, in your opinion? Is this a straight Gus Bradley? This has got to be in conjunction with the brain trust and the coaching staff, kind of, you know, the personnel decision maker, Dave Caldwell, has got to be involved in this, because especially if you're dealing a guy.
Well, this is all the GM's deal.
The coach have input on this?
Yeah, I'm sure there's discussions, but, you know, I think if I'm Dave, what I'm looking for is reassurance from Gus and Mike Mallory. If we go with the kid, is he ready?
Right.
If you have any reservations,
that's what I'm saying. Right. If they said we clearly think we can't go this direction.
It goes deeper than the eye test.
It's certainly risky. It's also bold. And look, they think he's the best guy, not only for this year, but they, you know, you've got to balance this year versus the long term. But for a franchise that hasn't had much this year, you know what I mean? I mean, there too many years have gone by saying wait till next year. Again, you put yourself in that situation, and who knows? Maybe Myers comes through and hits a bunch of game winners for him if it turns out to be that way. But one of the fan favorites, certainly Josh Scobie, looks like he's played his last football for the Jags.
Well, let's go one more hypothetical. Let's say Pittsburgh gives him a 6th-round pick. Okay, that means you got 2 sixes, and which gives you another ammo. Let's say in the draft you want to move up 6 or 7 spots in the 4th round. You know, to get a guy you're really targeting. Well, now you have an extra chip to play.
Right.
So, and the roster, the way they hope it is they're at the point where not every draft pick every year is going to make the roster anymore. So if you trade 2 sixes to move up 5 or 6
right, they're
spots
trading chips as much as anything, yeah, as well, which is fine. Look, I'm not against – look, you're not going to get anything for Jason Myers in trade. Josh Scobie's more of a proven commodity, and he's still, 32 years old, conceivably has a lot of good years left in the National Football League. So I wouldn't be surprised if they could squeeze a little bit more than a 6th, considering the importance, as you pointed out, of that position, particularly to Pittsburgh right now. So we'll get into that today. We'll look back and reflect on Friday night's game. Of course, the fan feedback question of the day following a game is this. What is the biggest positive and negative takeaway from the performance of the Jags, excluding Blake Bortles, who I think most would agree was the biggest positive takeaway from Friday night? Share your thoughts with us on Twitter, at MD_1010XL, and, of course, at Ryan O'Halloran as well. Jaguars Today Facebook page open for business, 641-1010. The phone in line, it also doubles as the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. What else?
Steelers have already traded their 5th-round pick.
So they don't have a 5th.
They don't have a 5th. They traded it for Brandon Boykin early in camp.
I'll take the 4th.
Well, you take that 4th, you package the 4th and the 2nd, you go get Bruce Irvin.
Well, fine. Maybe you do. And I don't have a problem with the whole Bruce Irvin thing. I've had people make that suggestion. There are a few things that go into any potential trade like that. One, you got to have the willingness of Seattle to make that deal.
That's a big thing. That's,
right.
Yeah, they don't seem willing to do that.
This is a team that wants to win the Super Bowl, and it's worth it to them, I think, if they say, hey, even if he's here for 1 year, if he helps us win another one or get in position to win one, how do you value that?
And you probably get a 3rd-round compensatory when he walks.
When he walks, right. Yeah. So you're going to get a pick as well, and then you're not going to give up significant draft capital without an assurance that this guy is going to re-sign an extension here. At least I'm not doing that. Yeah. And if I'm Bruce Irvin, am I going to sign sight unseen with a franchise or an organization? I'm not sure where they're headed, but I'm going to have my pick of suitors next year on the free agent market. To me, that's unlikely, but I like the way you're thinking. We got to get some pass rush in here. So with that, phone lines open to you, Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran of the Florida Times Union. Get on board looking back at the Jags Friday night performance and looking ahead perhaps to the Jason Myers era of kicking here in Jacksonville, Florida. On a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday, it's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Second and goal now from the 13. 3:24 to play on a turning clock in the first quarter. Play fake. Throwing into the end zone. That is going to be a touchdown for the Jaguars. Bortles and Alan Hearns on the post pattern, and the Jags strike first.
Blake's really impressed me so far. He's smart. You know, he knows how to make his reads, and, you know, he makes good decisions, you know, really quickly. And once he decides where he wants to put the ball, he's got the arm to get it there. You know, like I said earlier, with the weapons we got, I really expect we can make a lot of big plays in the pass game.
There you go, Stefan Wisniewski, talking about his new teammate Blake Bortles and what he's seen out of him. And as much as we had liked what we saw out of the offense, definitely wanted to see you get the ball in the end zone via the air, and they were able to do that early in that football game on Friday night. Now, coming back here, Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, a Wild West Guns of Gold Money on Jaguars Today. As Ryan was saying, it looked imminent that Josh Scobie was headed to Pittsburgh. Well, our own Jeff Prosser just talked to the man in question, and that would not be Dave Caldwell. That would be Josh Scobie. I take it Jeff
correct
is with us now. What's up, Jeff?
Yeah, on his way to Pittsburgh. Yeah, on literally. When I say on his way to Pittsburgh, I mean literally in transit to Pittsburgh. So nothing more as far as I didn't get into, wasn't able to get into terms or what comes back, if he even knows that. But it has officially happened. Josh Scobie is on his way to the Steelers, which is
at least on his way to, you know, I'm sure. Well, now, has he taken the physical and is on his way, or is he on his way to take a physical? Do we know?
The quote that he gave me is, I'm on my way there. So I'm assuming that is to Pittsburgh. I can't imagine Josh Scobie failing the physical. I can't either.
I just didn't know if it was done, or it was.
Well, I think that's probably why it hasn't been officially, announced by the Jaguars, maybe. But, the speculation, and, I'll let you guys talk about the ramifications of that, what it says. I mean, again, I don't want to overreact to it, but it tells me, I don't know how positive you are. You're ready to knock on any kind of, really big doors if you're going to give up that trust and experience. And, Ryan, you've covered this league for a long time. Mike, so have you. There's been, guys can hit it 70 yards or become a dime a dozen. Who's going to do it when there's 8 seconds on the clock and there's not, as good as Mike Hollis was, there's not been a more clutch player, maybe player and certainly kicker than Josh Scobie and some of what he's made. It's a shame that we wasted his talents all these years in a down era of the franchise, because who knows how many game-winning kicks and pressure situations he would have come through in if he'd had more opportunities.
All right. Well, Jeff, we appreciate the confirmation on I don't know if we call it the Josh Scobie era, but from a kicking standpoint, it certainly was. And I know one of the most popular guys with the Jaguar fan base as well. And because they haven't had a guy, too many of them that have lasted that long of recent vintage that have had any kind of success. So, wish him luck and except when he kicks against the Jacksonville Jaguars in the future.
Yeah. Probably a smart move by the Steelers, too. Have been going through kickers, and, this
will
give them a steady leg for sure. But, one of the more popular players, and, the fact that your two most popular entities the last few years have been Jacksonville and the kicker might say something. But, Scobie is now a Steeler, or at least when it's confirmed by the particulars.
All right, man. Jeff, we appreciate the confirmation. Right, thanks, buddy. All right, there he goes, Jeff Pross of The Drill with Dan Hicken. Weekday mornings here, 6 to 10 on 1010XL. A variety of tweets, Ryan, coming in. Oh, my. That's one of the ones from Kenneth Pendleton in reaction to the news that I tweeted out that it's official, it appears, that Josh Scobie will be a Pittsburgh Steeler. Sad faces, unhappy, WTF. Trying to remember what the fudge. Actually, they spelled it out for me. I tried to make it nice like that. But, hey, look, that's the reaction you're going to get. I don't know if it is an indication that the Jags don't think they're going to win games. I think Dave Caldwell's his own guy. And he's going to take the guy that he thinks is the best for the job, risky or not, right? I mean, I don't get the sense that this is this year's games are not quite as important. I mean, Jeff Logman last week was arguing that the naming of Stefan Wisniewski as the starting center was the complete opposite, that winning is that much more important this year. Look, winning's always important, but we're getting into year three here. This can't be a perennial rebuild for this football team. Maybe they just believe Jason Myers, not only short but at long-term as well, is the better option for this football team.
And Josh, last year of his contract, so obviously they had no intention of re-signing
him. Right, he's making, over $3 million. Yeah. Good bit of money for a kicker in the National Football. I mean, they can afford that. It's not a cost-cutting move, I wouldn't suspect. But now you do have cheap labor locked up with a cannon leg. And I know what Jeff's saying. There are a lot of guys with big legs out there. I don't know if a lot of guys have the leg that we've seen about with Myers to that degree.
To me, it's like the thing he chunked a kickoff against the Giants. He's kicked three in the end zone that have been returnable. So obviously there's some things. I mean, that means the hang time's not there. So risky move, absolutely. And we'll see. I mean, this is a gamble.
Definitely it's a gamble, but I think, again, this comes down to Dave Caldwell doing what he believes is the best for this franchise. You know, when he took Blake Bortles, it was a bit of a gamble at the time. Teddy Bridgewater was more the consensus guy, if there was one. I think Bortles was more the surprise candidate, and he said one of the reasons was he felt that if Bortles came back this year, that he'd be the best quarterback in the draft class. And people said, well, that's crazy. Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota, whatever. Well, I mean, that's his conviction. We'll find out whether it's right or not. Our early returns on year two of Blake Bortles look good preseason-wise. We'll find out if this is the right move. If you want to weigh in with your thoughts on it, 641-1010. We don't have you for much longer, only about another 10 minutes, because Jaguars' open portion of practice will be coming up pretty early today. So beyond the Scobie move being made today and the Jason Myers move, if you want to look at it that way. Let's just talk about what we saw out of this passing game. Let's go to the protection, first of all. So a couple of bad plays, consecutive bad plays from Luke Jokel. Otherwise, I thought the protection, once again, pretty good. Blake Bortles not getting killed back there. Now, part of that is he knows how to help his line out and get rid of the football, step up and avoid pressure, but that's all part of the deal in the NFL.
And that's my takeaways from this passing game, which looks ready for the regular season, is he has time to throw. He's getting it out of his hands quickly, so he's not inviting the sacks. The guys up front are doing a decent job. What you see is the communication is pretty good. You don't see free blitzers. You see running backs picking up linebackers, which was an issue all of last year. And the big thing is, and Blake pointed this out on Friday night, guys are getting open. Tight ends have been open the whole preseason, even without Thomas.
How much is that the direct impact of Greg Olsen?
I think it's a big impact.
Same guys.
Running a lot of crossing routes into traffic. Mercedes, was covered on that seam down the right side, perfectly thrown pass. So I think a lot of things to be encouraged about from the passing game. Run game, a lot of one-on-one battles lost the other night. T.J. Yeldon had 10 yards on 8 carries. I think he probably got as much as he was going to get. There just wasn't a lot of room to run. I'm encouraged the fact that Yeldon was even out there. They put him out there the first 12 plays of the game. See if he can handle it.
Put him back in when Denard went out there and they got down into the red zone and Yeldon came back onto the field, which I think is an indication of how much they want to feature him this year.
Yeah, and they picked up a pass protection. He sort of just nudged the guy, but caught the ball, made a guy miss in the open field. So I tell you what, this team may have to score a lot of points because there's some issues on the other side.
No question about it. Repeating the news of the morning for all the people texting us, yes, you're hearing correctly. Josh Scobie apparently is being traded. It's not officially done yet until the Jags announce it, but Scobie talked to Jeff Prosser moments ago and said he is on his way to Pittsburgh and to be a Pittsburgh Steeler.
And one thing I talked about in the blog yesterday about why they would shop a kicker is there's two things. Okay, are you a rebuilding team that says, okay, we're not great covering kicks, but we need a lot of touchbacks? Well, that team probably would have been interested in a Myers and not, because he probably would have been claimed. If you're a team that's ready to win now, is banged up, and you need a guy right away, like Pittsburgh, then Scobie makes the most sense last year of his deal. So I think I think he got a lot of calls on both guys, but that's the one thing we'll talk to Dave Caldwell about when it becomes official is, okay, was this a better, what were the deals in place for Myers, or did you have more calls on Scobie? What made you choose?
Right. What did it come down to simply who you could get more compensation for? Maybe you felt comfortable with either guy, and it may have come down to that,
Yeah, and that was if no trade was made, who had the edge?
Would it completely shock you to hear that they got a fourth round pick for Scobie?
That would.
Would it?
Yeah.
Sixth rounder is what you're holding out hope for.
Well, I think they.
As you mentioned, Pittsburgh doesn't have a fifth rounder.
I think the fifth would have been
sweet spot.
Because the Steelers are desperate. That's the only reason you try and squeak a fourth out, is that Pittsburgh needed to get a guy.
Yeah, or you could always do Scobie on a sixth as well. I mean, you're not limited to just the player for the pick. There are a lot of ways to get creative. We don't know what the compensation is right now, so we're just pure speculation as far as that goes. Again, while we got you for a few minutes, you started to mention the need to score points this year because the pass rush has not been evident whatsoever. Now, again, the team started out well, offense possessing the ball, multi-play, 10-play, 15-play type drives. They've done that all preseason. But, and a slow start for Detroit, thanks to the Jags' defense, but then Detroit started to get things going a little bit. And again, like you said, no pressure. You lose Andre Brandt. You lose that body in that rotation. Does that mean Chris Clements has to play more snaps eventually than you like? Chris Smith, obviously they like him. As much as they like him more as a situational guy.
Like all those guys more as situational
right.
guys.
Right. So you got a bunch of situational guys. That guy Dante Fowler Jr. they really like as an every down beast. Obviously that's why they went in that direction. They saw that this was a potential issue for them. How concerning is this? Because if quarterbacks have time, eventually guys come open in the National Football League.
Yeah, and they did blitz about half the time when Stafford was in the game and didn't get there, partly because of quick throws, partly because they couldn't beat their guy. So that's the balance that Gus Bradley's got to find out over the next 2 weeks is, do you trust your secondary enough in man coverage without a lot of help?
To bring a little pressure. think you're going to have to try it.
You have to try it because what they're doing last year didn't work.
Right.
Granted, the 45 sacks were great, but when they needed it, you know, it was a four-man rush.
What about the run defense? I mean,
that to me, that's this big a concern because they're just they're giving up big runs. 41-yard run on third and one, and
right.
The guy wasn't touched.
Right, he got the corner pretty easily.
Yeah, so I mean, you saw a couple guys, storming the line of scrimmage. Lowston was out of position. The linebackers were away from the play. All of a sudden, you had Aaron Colvin trying to set the edge against the left tackle. Left tackle is going to win that one. So. But that's a concern, and that was a backed-up situation. I guess the only thing you hang your hat on is they ended with a three and out.
Yeah, well, I guess that's what.
But, hey, we're positive, damn it.
Are we? Is that the way it works around here? All right, Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, for just a few more minutes. Ryan, how would you approach this final preseason game if you're the Jags in regards to Bortles, Allen Robinson? I mean, do you want to see any of these guys out there? Does T.J. Yeldon need a few more touches here in the preseason, or do you want to save him?
I would. Those three guys, don't play them. I wouldn't play 25 guys. You got a 75.
Bunch of your O linemen too, right?
I would sit the whole O line.
How significant is the Josh Wells injury and going on IR?
I think it is significant because now you instead of Josh, you sort of they say they had penned in Josh Wells as their backup tackle. Now it's between Sam Young and Austin Pastor. Tyler Shatley going in as the second team right guard. He's on this team. We know that now. So Can is on the team. Bowenko's on the team. Shatley's on the team. So you're looking at Pastor or Young as your backup tackle. So. Your margin for error is slim there.
It is. What do you want to see these guys get accomplished over the next few days? I mean, just basically get the final preliminaries out of the way. I mean, other than them determining the final roster spots on this football team, they're down to 75 now. They didn't mess around. They had until tomorrow to make their cuts. But how many tough decisions do you envision for this football team?
Not many. Is it Brian Walters as the fifth receiver? Do they keep six? Do they keep five?
He's the fifth guy right
He's
at this moment,
right? He's the fifth guy
right
now. On an offensive line, I think there's just one spot up for grabs between Pastor and Young. Defensive line is set. Linebackers, you got to think because of attrition, Armbrister and Reynolds and George are set because Reynolds is banged up.
And Fort's gone.
Yeah, at corner, I think pretty much at safety, Craig Lowston moves ahead of Josh Evans. Does Josh Evans have a spot on this team? And I think the thing they gained from Thursday night's game, playing all these backups, is how comfortable do they feel with their depth and how much action do they have on the waiver wire? Maybe one or two guys over the weekend, but I think that's what Thursday night serves. These guys are going to play a ton of snaps. You get a better evaluation of them that way.
Well, and as you said, you're not going to find pass rush on the waiver wire practically ever. And the question now becomes, when does Cedric Marks get back? And if he is back early in the season, how effective is he? Keeping in mind a guy like Geno Atkins, who's, I think, a very similar player, disruptive, penetrating, good against the run and the pass. Took him about a full year after tearing his ACL to look like the same guy again. No, that was it.
That's the other decision the Jags have to make by Saturday. I'm pretty sure they're going to put Marks on the 53 because if they keep him on PUP, that's 6 weeks. But let's say you have some other guys who are gimpy. You're going to have to play some roster math there. And maybe there's something to be said for telling Cedric, hey, we want you back, but let's keep you on PUP for 6 weeks so we can at least do it the right way.
Right, come back. And when we get you back, we know, or at least we're pretty confident that you're healthy and will be able to withstand.
And then last thing, the guy that is going to be, I wouldn't expect him to play Thursday night, is what can the Jaguars expect to get out of Marquise Lee in the first 6 weeks of the season? Because he hasn't done anything yet
right
for the hamstring.
I don't think we can know that. I don't think anybody on the staff can tell you that right now. Let's see, get out there in week one and be a quick exit. Once again, I don't think anybody would be surprised. Let's hope for the best. But I think the biggest thing is people have been pointing out this morning, no Julius Thomas, no Marquise Lee. Hasn't seemed to matter. No Toby Gerhardt, who was so effective in short yardage first couple weeks, hasn't seemed to matter. This offense and really just goes to show you what good quarterback play can do. You can cover up as a lineman perfect? No. but it's been pretty good. And you got a quarterback who's playing with a lot of savvy in the pocket right now. And despite the drops that he's had in the preseason from his receivers and tight ends at times, continues to deliver the ball accurately, picking up key first downs with his feet. So playing very well, and that gives you a lot of hope no matter what the rest of your roster looks like. All right, Ryan, I know a lot of things going on. Greg Olson's going to meet with the media in about 10 minutes, so I know you're headed there out to practice shortly after that as well. So thanks for stopping in on a newsy little morning. I'm sure we'll catch up with you later in the week.
All right, Mike, thanks.
All right, there he goes. Ryan O'Halloran of the Florida Times-Union flying solo right now. So time for you to get in if you'd like to at 641-1010, both on the phone lines of the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. Your reaction to the impending, if not official trade of Josh Scobie to the Pittsburgh Steelers, as Scobie telling Jeff Prosser that is where he is in fact headed, and the Josh Scobie era of kicking here in Jacksonville comes to an end. Welcome in Jason Myers as your new kicker for the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Mike Dempsey flying solo here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
59-yard attempt. Podlish will hold it. Jeremy Kane, the snapper. Scobie sweeps the leg. 59 yards away! He's got it! Jacksonville wins!
Sweep the leg, Josh Scobie. Oh, that was a good one. 59 yard is good anytime. Game winner, we'll take that. May Jason Myers have many of those moments. Hope Josh Scobie has plenty of those moments, just not against the Jags or when the Jags need the Steelers to lose. Sometimes it could be beneficial for Pittsburgh to win. Maybe they're playing Indy. You know what I'm saying? Good luck to Josh personally. Not necessarily his team that he's headed towards. But the Scobie era is over. Jeff Prosser talked to him. He's on his way to Pittsburgh. And there you have it. Again, I'm not positive he has taken his physical and passed it. Again, no reason to think he wouldn't. But those are usually, you know, the last things before it becomes official. And the Jags will send out a press release when it becomes official. And as we're all interested in finding out, what is the compensation coming back Jacksonville's way from the Pittsburgh Steelers? So we shall see coming up. I guarantee you, based on some of the Twitter response I've gotten already, that no matter what they've got from the Pittsburgh Steelers, it won't be enough for some fans who are metaphorically bawling their eyes out on Twitter right now. And I'll say this, Scobie's a good guy, good personality in the community, in the locker room, been very fan-friendly and all that stuff. Got to get your franchise past the point where you're worried about trading the kicker. It should be like, okay, who cares who the kicker is? Because we have Blake Bortles, right? I mean, hopefully you get to that franchise point. I don't think, you know, you look out in Denver, right? They cut Connor Barth, and I'm not saying he has the history that Scobie has. And they go with Brandon McManus, who they cut last year and signed Connor Barth. So they kind of flip-flop back and forth. And again, he hadn't been there for a decade. I understand that. But nobody's saying, oh, it matters whether it's Connor Barth or Brandon McManus. No, they go with whoever they think the guy is. And Brandon McManus is not exactly a proven commodity. And don't tell me that Denver doesn't have designs on winning games this year and playing for a championship. So it happens. And if your quarterback's good enough, you get to a point where you don't worry about these kind of things, honestly. And I think Blake's trending in a very positive direction. Is he there yet? No. But is he going to get there? Well, as the Magic 8-Ball would tell you, signs point to yes, I think, right now, just based on what we've seen so far, without getting ahead of ourselves. All right, 641-1010, your reaction to either Friday night's game, granted it's only a preseason game and it happened a few days ago, or the more pressing issue, the breaking news this morning, that Jeff Prosser confirmed by talking with Josh Scobie that the Jags are, in fact, trading Scobie to Pittsburgh to become a Steeler. Let's go to Bob up first today on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Bob. How are you?
Hey, Mike. Good to talk to you again. I do not like Pittsburgh. I never have, actually. But I want to say congrats to Scobie because he'll finally get a chance to win a Super Bowl. It wasn't going to happen here during the past 5 years. It's not going to happen here in the next five. I'm not being negative. I'm just being realistic. And he's another Jaguar like Keenan and Mark, and even Byron Leftwich, who go to another team and end up with the Super Bowl. So for him personally, I hope he gets it. And he has been the MVP of this team, I'd say, for at least the past 5 years. If you get a chance, could you sum up how many games were won by him kicking a field goal? The last game I was able to go to was the night game against Baltimore a few years ago, and it was all field goals by him, if I remember right. But it was great to talk to you again, and again, good luck to Scobie.
All right, that's a lot of presumption going on that Pittsburgh's going to win a Super Bowl in the next few years. Could they? Certainly. Are they any guarantee to do that? No. In fact, their defense is pretty bad. They've, as we just pointed out, you know, two of their top key offensive players suspended for the early part of the season. Marquise Pouncey out for half the year. Pittsburgh's no lock to do anything. Explosive offense, no question about it. One of the toughest stadiums to kick in the National Football League. I don't know. I mean, you know, all these games, it comes down to a 59-yarder, and yes, Scobie comes through in the clutch in that instance, right? Well, a lot of other things have to happen in the course of a game. The kicker doesn't win the game on his own. I mean, you know, you get to that point where the rest of the team puts the kicker in position, perhaps, to win or lose the game. And look, Scobie's made a bunch. He had three of them blocked last year. Wasn't a great year for Jar Scobie in 2014. And I'm not trying to, you know, throw dirt on him on his way out the door here. I just, look, people, I think, have looked back over the past 10 years and they haven't had a lot of success. And you have one guy who you could pretty much count on year in, year out. But you got to get way beyond a point where a kicker is one of your top players on your football team. How many teams in the National Football League would count a kicker as their MVP for a 10-year period? I think that's silly to begin with anyway, because you could trade kickers in and out in a lot of instances, a lot more than you could trade in and out offensive linemen, quarterbacks, and many other positions in the National Football League. Was he a very good kicker for the Jags? Absolutely. And maybe we'll go on to have many more good years. Doesn't mean that Jason Myers won't come in here and be even better this season. Let's go to Jacob up next here on 1010XL. Good morning, Jacob.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
Hey, well, just checking in on this Scobie deal. Scobie's just like the true Jaguar. Everything he does, community, Jacksonville, all that. I saw this coming the first week of preseason, basically training camp when everything started. Because Myers has the leg, he has the ability to do the same thing as Scobie. There's nothing that you can say bad against Scobie. It's you're looking at salary versus time left. Myers, you're going to get 10 years out of. You can do the same thing as Scobie did. He's got the ability to do it. He's got a beast of a leg. The only kick he missed, if I'm not mistaken, was his first kick in the NFL preseason game, which was, what, 53?
58.
So,
I'll say this, though. Just because he has the leg does not mean he's going to play 10 years in the National Football League. Does he have the nerve? You know, preseason, kick him all you like. Kick him 80 in the preseason. It's not the same as kicking 48 with the game on the line in the regular season. And perhaps he will succeed for 10 years. But if you think just because a guy has a big leg that he's automatically going to do it for the next 10 years here, you don't watch kickers in the National Football League very closely, because they cycle through those guys quite frequently. At least a lot of franchises do. When you find a good one, they can play for a long time. No question about it. Can he do it at that level with that pressure on him? We'll find out. I hope he can. We will find out that. Nobody knows. You can think you know, and you might end up being right. But you don't know until he does it. It's as simple as that. Let's go to John up next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, John.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
So I think it's a good move anytime you get a draft pick for a 33-year-old kicker. I think the community that, you know, everyone likes Scobie is great on the radio and everything, and I think that's why people are so upset. But my guess is he might struggle a little bit in Pittsburgh this year, and he'll be back with you guys in a year or two on the radio, and he'll be back part of the community, and then people will be feeling good again, kind of like Freddie P now. So I think in the long term, this is a great move for the organization, for everyone.
It could turn out that way. I don't think if Scobie struggles in Pittsburgh, I think it'll be more to do with Pittsburgh. And, you know, kicking in Heinz Field has been notoriously one of the toughest propositions for kickers, maybe the toughest stadium to kick in the National Football League, due to field conditions, weather conditions, and a variety of factors. But you know, I think there is something to be said for that. Scobie is out there and people know him. People know Scobie's personality more than probably most kickers are known in the market that they play in. And when you've had a franchise that hasn't had a lot of stars with acclaim and, you know, certainly nationally recognized figures, not that Scobie was nationally recognized, but to have some locally consistently recognized guys that have a good personality and were successful on the field, they're few and far between for this franchise. So I do think there's certainly something to that. People here like Josh Scobie. That's a part of it. That's certainly a factor. I would think there aren't too many places in the National Football League where they trade their kicker and people would be all upset about it, but I certainly understand the reasons why a lot of fans are big Scobie supporters. But apparently that era has come to an end. And, you know, is it risky? Well, every move you make is risky if you're a general manager. Every time you make a decision to let one guy go and keep another, it could be the right decision, it could be the wrong decision. And it's that much tougher when you've got a guy that's had success for this franchise a lot longer than you've been here, even. But in the end, Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley have to put their heads together and figure out what's best for the franchise as a whole. They feel that this is the right move at this time. And you can pan it if you want to. You can understand it if you want to. You can, whatever your reaction is. Like all these decisions, we do react to them. That's why we do sports radio. But time will tell. Me, personally, I do think it's a risk. Because as I've made the example, it's akin to what the Marlins did, I believe, in 93 with Brian Harvey, who's a very good closer with the Angels. The Marlins signed him as an expansion team, and people said, what are you doing investing all this money in a closer? You're an expansion team. You're not going to be very good. And their point was, well, if we're going to be in a lot of close games and we're not favored to win a bunch of games, let's win the ones we have a chance to win, right? Let's bring this guy in and assure ourselves and not get through eight innings and then give it away right there at the end. I think it's the same principle. You've got a young football team here that has a chance, we think, to be improved this year, but maybe very improved on offense, not so improved on defense. You're getting that feeling right now. And let's say they're in a bunch of close games and they do come down and they're single possession ball games in the fourth quarter. Are you going to have that confidence factor? Well, I mean, Jason Myers may come through. We don't know that he won't.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history is brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. This date in football history in 1997, the franchise that we don't like a whole lot around here. The Tennessee Titans were kind of born on that date. Eddie George had 216 yards on 35 carries and scored a touchdown as the former Houston Oilers played their first game in Tennessee, albeit not in Nashville. They beat the Oakland Raiders 24-21 in overtime at the Liberty Bowl in Memphis on this date back in 1997. Notable birthday for this date, Larry Fitzgerald, born in 1983, 32 years young today for Larry Fitz. This date in football history presented by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry, located on Gate Parkway. If you need cosmetic work done or you're in the market for a family dentist, call Dr. McCall's office at 620-9225. In the meantime, visit jamesjmccall.com to get a complete list of their comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now, the drive around the NFL on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Well, Mike, Josh Scobie was not the only kicker traded this morning. The Bucs rookie kicker. The Bucs acquired a rookie kicker out of Notre Dame and Kyle Brenza in exchange for tight end Tim Wright, who they received in a trade from the Patriots for Logan Mankins last year from the Lions. That trade coming just across the wire this morning. The Bears also cut veteran cornerback Tim Jennings yesterday. Jennings played five seasons in Chicago, played all 16 games last season, but no picks. And to make matters worse for Jennings, he was arrested on charges of speeding, reckless driving, and driving under the influence back in January, and also had a knee surgery going on this offseason. Vic Carucci of the Buffalo News, our friend here on Jaguars Today, reports that the Bills have released running back Fred Jackson as a part of their roster cut to 75 players. Also, Packers receiver Randall Cobb suffered an AC joint sprain in his shoulder, according to Ian Rappaport. No word yet on Cobb's availability for week one. And finally, according to ESPN's Diane Marie Russini, Washington Redskins have named Kirk Cousins as their week one starter, Mike.
Was there any other choice right now, really, other than maybe Colt McCoy?
No choice.
Right? I mean, honestly, it wasn't going to be RG3 at this point in time. What a weird set of circumstances, and the chances of RG3 having any career success in Washington are practically nil.
Does he finish out the year in Washington, Mike?
Yeah. Who's going to trade? What are you going to give for RG3? Is he appealing to you as a franchise to go out and give something of significance to go acquire him?
Do you think a team like Houston would be interested in RG3?
What has he done that makes you interested in him? You know, and I saw the stat. It might have been in Monday Morning Quarterback today. Now, this goes back over seven games, including two preseason games. But the last seven times he suited up, like the last 54 drives, RG3 has thrown two touchdown passes. In 54 drives? That's crazy. I mean, that's nothing. I don't know. He's going to play more football somewhere in the National Football League. I just don't think, even if he plays again this year for the Washington Redskins, beyond this year, I mean, what kind of career is he going to have in Washington? It's all the signs are pointing in a wrong direction for him. Jay Gruden has no confidence in him, and why should he have any confidence in him? He's played very poorly, and they report that the offensive line, several guys on the line don't like him because he's a finger pointer. He doesn't take all the blame on himself, but that's their problem. Our issue today, Josh Scobie dealt to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Brent Martineau tweeting at Brent AS Jax says a lot about Josh Scobie that a kicker is getting this kind of attention. It would be a note in most places. Yeah, it does on one hand. Absolutely. Josh Scobie, if Josh Scobie were a jerk kicking 59 yarders, people wouldn't care as much. If Josh Scobie wasn't a good community guy who supported different programs, there wouldn't be as much support for him. But at the same time, the other side of that equation, it says a lot about this place and the lack of success that this team has had. Again, and I wasn't even speaking about him specifically, but a tweeter sent a tweet and said, you know, you're right about kickers leaving other places. Look at Vinatieri. Was any kicker ever more lauded in his run in one place than Adam Vinatieri was with the New England Patriots? I mean, do I have to go over all the significant postseason game-winning, game-tying kicks that this guy had? I don't think so. And he left, and they're like, all right, we'll find another kicker. You know, I mean, that's how successful franchises approach the position. When you have one and he's a good one, you keep him around, certainly. But the hand-wringing that goes with switching out kickers isn't evident in most places. I get all the reasons why, you know, Scobie's a popular guy. But, you know, hopefully Jason Myers becomes a very popular guy as well. Let's get Bonnie up next. 641-1010, the phone number if you'd like to get on board Jaguars today. Good morning, Bonnie. How are you?
Good morning. How about you? Thanks
I'm
for
great.
Having me on.
No
well,
problem.
Well, this just kind of really ticks me off.
How
we
come?
We have somebody on our team that we can depend on. If we get down to the goal line and we can't get over, we can always depend on Scobie to get us those 3 points. And it really upsets me to the fact that they trade somebody off for somebody that we don't know that can really do the job that Scobie did.
All right. Thank you, Bonnie. I appreciate the call. I'll say this. If the team gets down the goal line and can't get it in, every kicker in the National Football League will come through from that range, okay? There's not a single one out there that won't come through at almost 100% accuracy from that range. I understand your point. If the offense stalls, you know, Scobie's more often than not come through for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Last year, Josh Scobie, however, hit at a 76% clip of his field goals. That is, looking through it, 76.9%, his lowest since 2008. Is that right? 2010, maybe. His lowest since 2010. He was 78% then he was 92, 89, 92. Last year hit 76% of his kicks, call it 77% of his kicks. Again, I'm not trying to make the case to run Josh Scobie out of town. I thought Josh Scobie responded well in the preseason with the talk coming out of the scrimmage that there was a competition looming. Scobie put kind of a statement out there in the first preseason game, booming his kickoffs out of the end zone. And Pittsburgh saw that up close, and don't think that didn't factor into whatever the Jags are ultimately able to get out of the Pittsburgh Steelers. He didn't even give him a chance to return those kicks. I thought he was on point. I had the feeling that Josh Scobie came out there and said, what competition? He had that kind of performance. So I am a little surprised that it's gone this direction. But, look, Dave Caldwell's got to go with his conviction. If he feels like this is the best move to make, you know, in conjunction with what you're getting back, plus for this year and the future, he's got to weigh all these factors. It's his job, ultimately, that's on the line with these kind of decisions. So who else's opinion would he want to take but his own? If that's what he believes, let's go to Alonzo up next here on 1010XL. Good morning, Alonzo. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. All right. How y'all fella?
Good. What's up?
I kind of agree with the young lady earlier. I'm kind of, you know, upset about it also. I mean, he's part of the foundation, you know, that's been here. And, like, you know, whenever we need him to come through, whether it's a 50-yard or 56-yard, he's always, you know, managed to come through somewhat sometime. But I think, you know, them up the stairs in the front office kind of fell off the rock a little bit with certain people that they cut off the team and regret it later.
Well, they certainly made a few moves that I think Dave Caldwell will admit he would regret making later. Daryl Smith being the obvious one that we've beat into a bloody pulp into the ground over the last few years, myself included, on that drum beat. And certainly that possibility looms. They've also cut guys who've gone on, and you thought, oh, well, why are they letting that guy go? And he hasn't done much of anything elsewhere. I mean, look, just because you may have cut a good veteran in the past, it can't stop you from evaluating this guy and saying, this is how I feel about this guy. You can't go, but wait a minute, I traded Daryl Smith. That means I can't trade Josh Scobie here. You know, because I made a mistake, maybe, and an admitted mistake. Dave Caldwell said that's the one he'd like to have back. You know, Daryl Smith still playing at a good level. Daryl Smith still be a good football player on this Jaguar team. But that's, you know, water under the bridge. Obviously, look, people not happy about it, and that's why we're giving you a forum to voice your opinion on it. Let's go to, I think Mike is up next here on Jaguar Today. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Hey, how you doing this morning?
Good.
Hey, I understand everybody's mad. That's the nature of the business. You have trade people and stuff. My biggest question, how does it affect my free sandwich from Firehouse?
Well, Meyer's got a big leg. Now he needs to be accurate with him because he's certainly got the leg to make you a very satisfied man in the free meal department. So we'll find out. All right. Thank you for the dynamite call. Last year, Tyler dug this up out of kickers with at least 16 field goal attempts. And please keep in mind, I'm not trying to throw dirt on Scobie on his way out. I'm just looking at the facts, okay? Out of kickers with at least 16 field goal attempts, Scobie was 29th in the league. That percentage that I just cited, 76.9, was 29th out of 31 kickers in the league. It's almost the worst kicker in the league, accuracy-wise. And, well, yeah, he's won big games in the past. He had a chance to beat Tennessee last year, got it blocked, he kicked it low. Now, was the blocking great? Were there multiple factors? Yeah, but I clearly remember, you know, talking with Jeff Lagerman at the time that he's not kicking the ball as high on some of these longer attempts. Now, look, again, I'm not trying to build this case. Josh Scobie's a terrible kicker. I thought he performed extremely well in the preseason, and I thought that they would ultimately keep him around, and I thought that was the decision I would be more comfortable with as well. I'm just trying to give you some of the factors that may have gone into the thinking of Dave Caldwell, who is, taking all these things into account. All right, we got to take a quick timeout. We'll come back, get more of your reaction at 641-1010, both on the phones and the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line, if you'd like to get on board. It is a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Thanks to Ryan O'Halloran for stopping in to get things started. More of your calls coming up next here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
43-yarder. Here we go with 32 seconds to play. It's out of the hold of Brian Anger. The snap is good. It is down. Josh gets it up. It is good. Josh Scobie right between the uprights, and the Jaguars with 28 seconds of play have taken a one-point lead over the New York Giants.
Memories. Josh Scobie on his way to Pittsburgh, and not as a member of a Jaguar traveling party. Josh Scobie apparently will kick for the Pittsburgh Steelers this year. Nothing official from the Jags, but Jeff Prosser confirmed it with Scobie himself. He's on his way to become a Pittsburgh Steeler. Somebody text us on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. I guess they've had enough Scobie talk already. Is there any other Jag news? No. N-O. There's not. All right. They cut a bunch of guys yesterday, and we mentioned Josh Wells, probably the most significant among those actually going on IR with the dislocated thumb. They'll cut more guys after this upcoming game. The game they played was last Friday night, so it's not pressing. We all saw it. We're talking about it. This is the Jaguar news of the day, yes, and this is the appropriate storyline to be discussing on Jaguars Today. But perhaps they're just wondering aloud, is there any other news in addition to this that I'm missing? I don't know. Let's see. Got a bunch of calls on the line. We'll get to you here momentarily. Some interesting tweets as well on both sides of the fence. This one from at Rem All Day. Really, Mike, please stop. The line was letting guys run straight up the middle, and the offense could not get Scobie inside the 35 last year. So I guess I shouldn't mention the fact that he was 29th out of 31 qualifying kickers last year. Okay. Because no one else plays behind a shaky offensive line in the National Football League. I'm just saying, he didn't have a good year last year. And if you think he did, you're wrong, based on the standards particularly that he set in his career here. I'm not, again, I hear what I'm saying. I thought he responded tremendously well here in the preseason. And I thought that would be enough with all the other factors going into it, being a veteran, being a guy you had seen come through for you in the past, to keep him around. Clearly it wasn't. But I'm not going to say that this is some shocking move. The fact that there was a competition to begin with, that as Jeff Lagerman laid out after the, or during the scrimmage, and we continue to discuss from that point on, that there was a legit competition. If there is one, you shouldn't be shocked when it goes one way or the other, ultimately. Am I a little surprised? Yeah, I mean, I would have expected it to come down to the other side. Can't say I'm shocked. It's a kicking competition, for goodness sakes, folks. Again, Blake Bortles takes what he's done in the preseason and translates that to the regular season. That's going to be the last of your concerns, okay? Now, does that mean that if Jason Myers misses a game-winning field goal, I'm wrong? No, I don't know what Jason Myers is going to do. Maybe Jason Myers goes out there this year and he's 29 out of 30 kicking. We don't know. Maybe Scobie struggles mightily this year. We don't know. We'll find out. They have their reasons for doing it. I'm sure we'll hear from them later. But I don't think this is stunning news. It's a little surprising to me, but it's not stunning. You knew a competition was taking place. Let's go to the phone. 641-1010. Dave, you're up next on Jaguars Today. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How we doing?
Good. What's up?
Not too much, man. I enjoyed the game last week, man. We were under the Matthews Bridge during tailgate, and I was having to get about 30 yards south of the Matthews Bridge because of the wind, just to get out of the rain so my barbecue wouldn't go off. But anyway, we had a good time, man. I had a really good time. Looking forward to this season. As far as Josh goes, man, I've been a season ticket holder, my son and I, since day one, way back in the day. And I wish Scobie the best of luck. I really do. The good part of this is there's some pretty good golf courses up that way. So he's a pretty good golfer, so maybe he'll find some new courses and some new challenges up there. I appreciate the memories, that he gave us. But, you know, Jacksonville, it's time to go to the next level. If we're looking to go to these playoffs again and get to the Super Bowl, relying on a kicker is not the way to go. I know my daughter-in-law is listening. She's got a Scobie jersey, and I'm probably upsetting her right now. So her Christmas present may be a Myers jersey this year.
Maybe it will.
They absolutely. Maybe it will. But I guess my question is, get back down to it, this next, our last preseason game, we're apparently going to sit the entire offensive line. I don't think we'll see Bortles or anybody. I don't think it's really worth chancing putting TJ out there. We saw a lot last week with him. He didn't get a lot of blocking up front, but this upcoming game, he's definitely not going to get a lot of protection up front. I don't think it's worth the risk if you're sitting everybody on the offense to put him in there just for some more reps and stuff. So give me your thoughts, man. I'll listen to it. I'll hang up and listen to it. But good luck to Josh, absolutely, and looking forward to moving up to the next level with the Jaguars, man. Take care.
All right, Dave, thank you. We talked about this earlier, Ryan O'Halloran and I. Greg, don't play anybody who you think is significant. That you can get. You have to play some people because you have to have 11 on offense, 11 on defense out there. So you're going to have to be playing some people, but play as many of those guys that are not going to be around or are fighting for those last spots as possible. And I'm with you. I don't think you need to see T.J. Yeldon out there in preseason game four. I'm not playing him if it's me. If you think he's as big a piece of the offense as you drafted him to be, then leave him on the sideline. Let's get ready for the Carolina Panthers. And I wouldn't buy that Myers jersey just yet. As we've seen the history of kickers, I mean, kickers come and go in the National Football League. And I think that's part of the reason why people are saying, hey, you know, we had a guy here for 11 years that you could pretty reliably count on over that time period. Every time you switch kickers to a new young guy, you just don't know. He can have all the physical tools, and this guy has them. Will he have the mental tools? That's what it comes down to with kickers quite often. Just the pressure of all eyes on you, and, you know, everybody else has gotten you to this point, and here you are, 59 minutes and 40 seconds into the game, 20 ticks on the clock. Can you now jog off the sideline and go out and put all the pressure of the win or the loss on your shoulders and deliver? Time will tell, right? I mean, that's really, no matter what Jason Myers did, good or bad, in the preseason, isn't going to tell you what he's going to do in the regular season one way or the other. Scobie, you had a track record, and that's why I think a lot of observers felt ultimately that they would lean on the side. I don't know if caution is the right word for it, but experience being the right word for it, and they opted not to do that. Let's go to Chris up next here on 1010XL. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, Mike, what's going on, man?
What's up, man?
Well, just kind of wanted to weigh in on the whole Scobie thing here. I think people are confusing Scobie the man and Scobie the player. The player is a career 81% field goal, field goal maker. That's really not that great. That's okay. That's decent, but that's middle of the road. As a Jaguar fan since day one, I don't want to be middle of the road anymore. I want that guy that's going to go out there and maybe make 90% of them. But more importantly, I'm not worried about making 3 points. I'm worried about getting 6 points and touchdowns. All right, Mike, I'll take it off the air, man.
All right. Hey, you know what? A lot more of those six-pointers would be fine. I have confidence that Myers has the leg, even with the newly expanded point after touchdown difference or distance, that he can make that happen. I don't know what to make of this tweet, Tyler. You tell me what I should make of this one. This one's from at Rem All Day. You are better explaining the business side of it rather than trashing the only Jag we could count on over these crappy years. Is that saying that I'm trashing Josh Scobie? Could anything you have heard coming out of my mouth be perceived as that this morning? I swear to you, people hear what they want to hear, or maybe I'm just misinterpreting that tweet.
You're being very fair, Mike, I think.
I'm exceedingly fair, Tyler. That's a given as far as that goes. But I just don't get it. Is that what you're hearing? You think I'm throwing him under the bus? I'm stating facts. I'm saying, look at both sides. Should Dave Caldwell say, man, you know what? Scobie once, before we even got here, kicked a 59-yarder against the Indianapolis Colts, and what a good memory that is for the franchise fans. You know what? I think Jason Myers is the right way to go, but I'm going to keep that guy around because of the heartstrings that he tugs on. You can't do that if you're Dave Caldwell. Does that mean he made the right decision? We will find out over time, as with every decision. I'm surprised. Can I say it's the wrong one? It's probably not the one I would have made. Doesn't mean it's wrong. We'll find out if it's wrong or not. I'm just not up in arms about it. I like Josh too. Good guy. Great moments. The GM is looking at a myriad of factors here. His recent performance, what he's seeing on the practice field, what they're all seeing on the practice field every single day out of these two going head-to-head. So it's not just what we're seeing in the preseason games. They see them going side-to-side. Doesn't mean they always make the right decision. Sometimes you let guys go that perform well elsewhere. Sometimes you make decisions that are unpopular at the time you make them, and everyone says, oh, you know what? That turned out to be pretty good. Based on the way Blake Bortles has played this preseason, I have not heard too much from the people that told me over the course of, leading up to the draft this year, that if they didn't find a way to get Jameis Winston, they regret it because Bortles is a bust, and it's quite evident based on his rookie season that he'll never be any good and things like that. I mean, got to let these things play out, and we want instant answers, and that's part of sports radio. I get it. We got to give you an instant opinion. My opinion is I was a little surprised it happened, but I'm not that upset about it, quite frankly. I mean, it's a kicker, for goodness sakes, and I like what our last caller has said. Let's focus on some touchdowns and not worrying about winning every game. Look, the Jags right now, from the looks of it, are not winning many 13-10 games this year. Maybe they're winning some 35-33 games this year, is the way it looks like. Might be a bunch of close games, might be just different style of close games, because right now they're not stopping too many people, but at the same time, nobody's really slowed them down a whole lot with the first team offense, and they're not at full strength yet. Let's get back to the lines, 641-1010. Jim, you're up next. You're on 1010XL. Good morning. How are you?
Morning, Mike. Love just another calm Monday morning. Always fun. Listen, real quick, two things. One, first you need to talk to is Mike Hollis, because I know we heard the same thing back in 1995, because Scott Sisson came in here, NFL experience, decent kicker. It was his job. Hollis was just a leg. And after they released this and Mike got that job, everybody's like, who is this guy? You know, this is crazy. You know, why do you have a guy you never heard of? And he became one of our best kickers. I mean, so it's a kicker, folks. Relax. Okay. But the other thing is that I'm like you. I kind of think it's a situation where I think Caldwell and Bradley both saw that it looks like this, the kicker's not going to be the only guy that's going to be able to score for this team next year. Or this year. So, I mean, it's kind of like we might actually have an offense that can do something. So I agree with you. It's not going to be I don't think it's going to be a 17-14 type game a lot of times this year. So, you know, it's definitely interesting. I can just say that.
All right. Hey, look, appreciate the call, Jim. Look, the points are important regardless of whether you're playing the tight low-scoring games or the tight, high-scoring games. The points are important. But Hollis is an interesting example that Jim brings up for both ends of his career. The front end, as he so well brought up, and you forget, Mike Hollis was not any known commodity. Now, at the time, when you take over and, you know, you're coming in and it's an expansion team, it's a little bit different, right? And the Jags are, you hope they feel like they're ready to take a big step forward in the win-loss column this year, and it's not being treated as just another year of rebuild, that there's some significant winning to be done. But on the back end, Mike Hollis had been very consistent, 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 and then in 2001, he had 64% of his kicks, and the Jags let him go. Now, the Jags didn't have an immediate answer that stuck around for a long time. It was a few years before they developed Scobie, and they went through a period of you know, a multitude of kickers coming through, but Mike Hollis ended up playing one more year in the National Football League with Buffalo, hit 75% of his kicks that year and never played again in the NFL. I don't know if that's the trajectory Josh is on. I think Josh Scobie has a lot left, a lot of football left in his body. So we'll find out, but, you know, quite often those are the things that the decision made at the time, oh, no, 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 no. Oh man, am I glad we made that decision, right? The Texans draft Mario Williams. Oh, they didn't get Reggie Bush. Well, Mario Williams turned out to be a much better player than Reggie Bush. So public opinion is not always right on it. Not always wrong either, right? GMs make plenty of mistakes. That's why GMs ultimately get fired. I don't know if this is a mistake yet. It's a little bit surprising that they made the move, but I'm not going to say that I think unequivocally they made the wrong decision to let Scobie go. Let's find out what Jason Myers can do. And they believe they know what Jason Myers can do, or at least they think they know what he can do. Let's get Paul in here before we break. Hi, Paul. How are you this morning?
Hey, guys. Greg, big fan of y'all's. 2 points on the whole Scobie thing. One, Scobie was one of the more exciting kickers in the NFL. I was there when he kicked a 51-yard field goal winner against the Colts. Second point, when it comes to the National Football League, you look at the best teams in the league, they have what you call a trio. A great quarterback, a great wide receiver, and a great running back. There's no such thing as a quattro or as a field goal kicker needed. You know, hopefully that they bring Scobie back to retire him because he's been here so long, but Jacksonville needs to concentrate on that big three, that trio, which is going to be Bortles. He's been looking really good this year. They need to figure out if T.Y. Hilton's going to be good. Or I'm sorry, not T.Y. Hilton.
T.J. Yeldon, I got you.
T.J. Yeldon, yeah. But who's going to be that running back? You know, I mean, or the wide receiver, excuse me. That's who they need to figure out. That's what they need to worry about next, is if they get that wide receiver, that's how you open the field up. That's how you score points.
Hey, look, I'm not arguing with you. Wide receiver, all those positions typically much more important than kickers until it comes down to the final minute of the football game. And I will say that, you know, there are exceptions. When the Patriots were winning those Super Bowls in the early part of their reign here, they weren't doing it with big-time players, certainly at the wide receiver position. At alternate times, they had Corey Dillon have a good year or Antoine Smith have a good year at running back. But it was Brady, and there was a lot of clutch kicking getting done by Adam Vinatieri. So he was very instrumental to their success going back to the tuck rule game. Okay, but again, the other side of that equation is, well, they moved on. Did Patriot fans freak out? Now, it's easier to trust an organization that has shown, you know, the aptitude to put together championship teams. But ultimately, we're talking about a guy that has been talked about as a Hall of Fame kicker in Adam Vinatieri, and they moved on, and he's going to kick for the rival Colts and still doing well. And they just found a younger guy who can do it even better in Steven Gostkowski. So, you know, again, Scobie, as much as you loved him, was not Adam Vinatieri with his resume. And the team that's been the dominant team in football over the last 15 years let him go. Hall of Famer, perhaps, one day. He's certainly going to be in the discussion based on his clutch production. And they moved on to an unknown, basically, because they thought the unknown was going to be better, and it turned out he is right now at this stage of his career certainly better. Vinatieri is not chopped liver, but that's just the thing. And organizations are like, look, it's not a position we want to spend a lot of money on either. You know, if you can get the same kind of production for a lot less, that's a factor in it as well. So business decisions do get made. Does it mean the Jags are being cheap? No, look, just because you have cap space doesn't mean you should overpay guys if you don't think that's what they're worth. I don't know how big of a factor that was in this decision-making process. I would imagine they're going to come out and say, We just thought Jason Myers is a better man for the job, period. And we're not going to let money dictate that. It shouldn't dictate this. You would hope, because again, you got cap space galore. So you go with the guy that you think is going to be better, you know, and I would argue that this is not a throwing in the towel move, because much like Jeff Logman had been arguing that they should go with Luke Bowanko, or he thought they would go with Luke Bowanko in the competition with Wisniewski. If it's close, go with the young guy with upside. Well, they're saying, no, no, no. We went with Wisniewski because we think he's better right now. Okay. He's only on a 1 year deal. Okay. Bowanko's around for a while longer. They could have gone that route with the younger guy who was very close. They said, you know what? No matter what the margin is, we think Wisniewski's a better player right now with his knowledge of the offense that he brings with him from Oakland, all these different things. So they went in that direction. In that case, went with the more seasoned guy. In this case, they're going with the younger guy. I think what they're trying to say is, we're going with the guy we think is best. Again, could they be wrong? Absolutely. But I think that's the number one motivation of this team. They want to win. They want to win as much as you want to win. I know Jag fans think that, you know, fans care more about it than players. Well, I think Jag fans care more about the long term of this team than the players do, because players come and go. Okay? But the general manager and the coaching staff, they are building a vision. They want to be around here for a long, long time and be very successful and win a lot of games. And they understand they've only won 7 in the last 2 years. It's time to start winning some football games. So there are no free passes being given here, at least in my mind, to Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley. So if that's the case, you know, look, it's their jobs on the line. Make the decision that you believe in the most. And I would imagine that's why Dave Caldwell opted to go this way ultimately. All right, we got to take a break. We'll come back, take a look at some of the fan feedback reaction, not only to Friday night's game, but to Scobie being let go. I'll read as many of those tweets as I can get to. It is a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday, by the way. North Florida's largest dealer of firearms and accessories. Right now offering free scope mounting with a rifle or scope purchase at Wild West Guns and Gold. North Florida's largest dealer of firearms and accessories, as we mentioned. Anything from revolvers to sporting arms, everything in between. Wild West Guns and Gold will meet or beat any gun shop's price in the USA. Guaranteed, you can even trade your gold for guns, as John Osier knows well, at Wild West Guns and Gold. Guns4Jax.com is the website. Guns, the number 4, JAX.com. Or stop by South Lane Avenue. Pop in. Tell them Mike Dempsey sent you. Call 693-0777 for Wild West Guns and Gold, our Monday sponsor of Jaguars Today. Back with the fan feedback spotlight coming up next on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, here we go. Coming down the home stretch, Josh Scobie getting dealt to the Pittsburgh Steelers. News of the day, Jeff Prosser confirmed that with Scobie himself earlier here, and you heard it on 1010XL about 10:15, 10:20 this morning, something around that time of day. We've been talking about mostly that since, and I guess in response to when I said, no, this is the news of the day, somebody brought up from the texter who asked if there was any other Jags news. No, question mark, question mark, question mark, question mark. What about the injury report? No pass rush, or that AR-15 was targeted 8 times and only had 2 catches. I wouldn't consider Friday night's game the news of the day. Okay, that's, I guess, would be my point. Yes, Allen Robinson got targeted 8 times, only caught 2 balls. Is that the news of the day? I don't think so. I mean, you know, we talked about Josh Wells. We talked a little bit about what came out of that game. Glaring lack of pass rush, serious concerns on the defensive side of the football, outstanding feelings about your quarterback. Those are the things I took away primarily out of that game on Friday night. And yes, this is the news of the day when I believe your longest tenured Jaguar gets dealt. When a lot of people still feel he's got a lot left in the tank, that becomes the news. Let's see what we got here. Like it or not, Scobie's passion is golf, and that's why his percentages have gone down. That's
what an idiot.
That's ridiculous. Okay, I mean, I believe his passion's probably been golf for a long time. So I guess I don't know what to make of that, other than people, I don't know. People think that professional athletes should be spending every second of every day perfecting their craft. Think about it. You have a job. When you go home, what are you doing when you're off work? You know, oh, I guess you never play golf, right? Or if you do, well, the next time you're unproductive, have a bad day at work, it must be that to blame, right? I mean, come on. Wishing Scobie well, and a quick shout out to the Jacksonville Sharks. Yes, they did. They played for the big trophy, came up short. caught the second half of that game. Would have liked to have seen the Sharks win, obviously. Hope to see my Jags in the big dance here really soon. Go Jags! Good Dan Jacks. This is ultimately what you want as a fan in an organization. You want to have depth and competition, be able to move a high-priced player at a non-premium position and get something in return. We should be celebrating today. Let's see. I told you, Mike, last week that Myers was the most valuable backup. Okay, there you go. He's kind of just kidding there, but he's now a starter. Let's see. What am I missing here? We as fans forget this is a business. We tend to get emotional sometimes. All these on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. We went through the same something or went through the same thing with Mike Hollis when he left. This is my favorite one of the day. And you could substitute any person in here for the kicker. But with the 32nd and last pick of the first round, the Super Bowl champion Jacksonville Jaguars select Roberto Aguayo, kicker, Florida State. Tyler, if anybody complains about the Jags, whoever they take with the 32nd pick, if that's the case, when really what they should be on is a four-month bender at that point in time, then their head is in the wrong place, right? Wouldn't we all agree we'll take whoever they want to take? They can draft a punter in the first round, and then they can actually trade up from the second round into the late first to get a punter and then come back with a kicker with their own 32nd pick, and I'll be fine with that, provided that they've won the Super Bowl. I'll give them a year's grace period to go crazy, lose their absolute freaking minds if they do that. Would that be a fair trade? I think it would be. Boy, I really, looking back, I'm trying to dig up some of the reaction to the actual question of the day, which is, what is your biggest positive and negative takeaway other than Blake Bortles of the game on Friday night? And I found it interesting. Most people landed with the offensive line play and the pass protection in particular as a positive. Now, they didn't open up much in the running game, certainly, but overall I think the line, pass protection-wise, and some of that is on the quarterback, has played well. You know, Chad Henne doesn't have great pocket presence. Okay, and granted, he plays behind more second-teamers here in the preseason than Blake Bortles does, without question. But you see just that lack of presence that sometimes that ball needs to be gone. And with Blake, that ball's either gone or Blake's young and quick and agile enough that he's gone and he moves off his spot. Henning's not so young and quick and agile and never was as agile as Blake Bortles is. I mean, that's the big takeaway. The takeaway I had on the post game on Friday night was, look, you know what? You may have days when you can't run the football. You may have days when your left tackle gets knocked on his backside. You may have days when you give up 67-yard bombs over the top and all these things, they're all overcomable with great quarterback play. Now, does that guarantee that Blake Bortles is going to play great? No, but if he can, you can make up for a multitude. It's why the quarterback position is so important. I mean, we don't say it for our health. You think Indy's roster is great? They're not great. But no matter how much you may not like Mr. Neckbeard, he's a great quarterback. And he's getting better. Okay, he's already a 40-touchdown passer in a single season in the National Football League. He is great and on his way to greater. And he can cover up for a lot of missteps by that football team in Indianapolis. It's why they are a contender year in, year out. As long as he's healthy, they will remain a contender. Unless they absolutely, you know, have a boatload of key injuries across the board. It is a team game. But the most important aspect of that team is quarterback play. And the Jags, you, Jag fans, should be encouraged. I think you are. I'm not telling you anything that you haven't seen with your own eyes. I don't hear a lot about, you know, from the, again, that crew that just doesn't believe, oh, he's never going to be any good. He's a bust. It's clear. Da-da-da. Caldwell's going to be out of here because he didn't get Jameis Winston. Caldwell's going to be this. He's going to be that. I can't believe he took this guy. He passed on Teddy Bridgewater. He did this. He did that. I haven't heard a whole lot of that in the last few weeks. It's early. I get it. I'm sure the first time Blake Bortles has a bad game, I'll get it in droves. But right now, pretty impressed with what I've seen on that score. I wish Josh Scobie a lot of luck. Wish him well. Don't wish him well against the Jags or in any circumstance that would hurt the Jags. And you can imagine there are plenty of them out there. Look, I'm for Pittsburgh losing every game. So Scobie can hit all his field goals all he wants. And from a fantasy perspective, Tyler, I hope they lose them all 49-48. As long as they lose them, though, I'll be cool with that. Score a bunch of points for my fantasy team and lose the game. I think everyone can agree. That's the ideal outcome for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Mike, I think the big question that we have now is, what are we going to do with the Scobie updates?
Well, we've got to find another avid golfer. I mean, that was probably the problem. It wasn't the golf that was distracting him. It was my updates on the golf that was distracting Scobie so much. And maybe that's the reason Myers had a leg up, pun fully intended, right there. All right, that's going to do it for us today. Thanks again to Wild West Guns and Gold. I'm sure more conversation on not only Friday night's game for the Jacksonville Jaguars against the Detroit Lions, but as well as the turning over of the kicking position to Jason Myers. And probably hear from Gus a little bit later on this afternoon as well here on 1010XL as the Jags weigh in on the decision to trade Josh Scobie. And we'll find out exactly what they get from the Pittsburgh Steelers as well. I don't want to hear conditional late-round pick. I want the details. I want to know exactly what round and what it can turn into and all those kind of things. And hopefully we'll get that in short order. Thanks to Jeff Prosser for reaching out to Josh Scobie and confirming that he is on his way to become a Pittsburgh Steeler. Thanks to all of you out there in Radio Land as well. Appreciate Ryan O'Halloran stopping by for Tyler Devitt and Joe Fortunato. For Fat Tony, that's what happens when your Braves don't show up for 3 days. You don't get to show up for 3 days. Tony will be back Thursday. That's a penance. Man, 38 runs, keep it coming. They thought it was the World Series, Tyler. It's time to get swept. That's what the Braves did this weekend. Whew. All right, XL Primetime coming up next. Again, thanks to Wild West Guns and Gold. That does it for us. I'm Mike Dempsey signing off live from Everbank. Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now, Duval, give me two claps and a Rick Flip.
Woo! That's great job.